Now, there's still a couple of other questions. There was one other question that someone asked me, which I said we would cover. I'll have to ask you to tell me that again, because I didn't write it down and I can't remember it at the present time. But I do have one question here which becomes important, especially when we're dealing with areas where we do not have an quote, ordained elder, unquote. Okay. Now, the question is, can a group appoint a leading man? Well, there would be nothing wrong with that. When we do ordain men as elders, we also get the input of the congregation because they know the man because he's been in the congregation. And one of the mistakes that was made in WCG is that it became a political thing and too many men were ordained as elders because they got close to the minister or pastor and it was the corporate thing of pushing and exalting the elder, and then the elder would reach down and pull the man up. So that's called the push-pull effect, you see. And then you would have people, one day you would come to Sabbath services or a holy day, and lo and behold, they're going to have an ordination, and they call out the man who's going to be ordained, and everybody says, you got to be kidding. See? But with the rule and authority they had, he was made an elder. Later things happened, right? See? So the group or congregation should be, they should have their input in it because they might know something about the man, because everybody can read 1 Timothy 3, qualifications for an elder. An elder is to be an overseer, not an over-oppressor. Okay. So maybe they could let you know in on some things. I know one man who was ordained at the same time I was. Now, I was ordained by HWA at the last day of Unleavened Bread, 1965. One of the men who was ordained was a real political climber, and he got ordained because he built a house for the pastor that was there in the area. And you can imagine what kind of eldership he had. See? Was a disaster. So just to do something like that indiscriminately would probably, I would say undoubtedly, not be a good thing to do. Okay?
Right. You know how it always says, or I think most of the time just...
Oh, yes. That's interesting. Comment was made that the synagogues had rulers and the church is to have overseers. Now, what's the difference? Difference is, when you ruled over, you don't dare think. You do as you're told to do. Jawohl. Sieg Heil. No questions asked. Yeah. Overseer, you teach people to be have an independent relationship with God the Father, and they take care of their lives. See? So then they can make decisions and judgments, and they can assist in selecting someone who is an elder. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be, you know, perfect. So you can't foresee bad behavior down the road, because you don't know all of the things that may transpire between the time someone is ordained and somewhere down the road. But by consulting the congregation, they know, is this man honest? Is this man caring? Is he serving? Is he vain? Is he trying to climb the ladder? And see, when you have a corporate church, you don't teach people to think. You don't teach people to run their lives with the Spirit of God. You manage them. Just like in a corporation, you manage the employees. But here, we are to help everyone come together for God the Father and Jesus Christ. Then we work together. This way, then, there's no pecking order. See? I'm here to teach. but I'm we. That means all of us together. See? And whatever we are as elders and what we do, we're to teach ourselves, we're to correct ourselves, we're to be yielded to God, we're to pray and study every day. And our example is not to just, you've heard the thing, set the example. No, you are the example by the way that you live, and that's a vast difference, see? Because one is a pretense of a show to set the example. The other one is so that people can see how you actually are and live. See? One keeps you at arm's length, and the other helps you to grow in love and understanding. And we've experienced both ends of that, so we try and do it this way. So the question is, to have him pray and anoint with oil the sick and troubled instead of sending for an anointed cloth and waiting to get one. That would depend on the circumstances. If there's someone in a group who then would be recommended as an elder indeed, then obviously he should be ordained, okay? If all other considerations are equal. Otherwise, would be good to send out an anointed cloth. But how do you send out an anointed cloth? I do all of mine individually and personally when I get the request. And I write the letter. I have a general letter, but I tailor the letter for the person requesting the anointing according to their circumstances, according to the severity of the problem they're needing to be anointed for, you see. And in some cases where it's really, really extreme, I've got a couple of paragraphs saying in there that real repentance has to come before healing. And it sounds like you've got a lot of issues that you need to take care of, and you need to examine yourself before God and repent of so you can be healed. Should they not know that? Yes, of course they should. See? So every request I get for an anointed cloth, I anoint it individually. I pray for the person as if I were there. I hold the anointed cloth in my hands as if I'm laying hands on them, as if I were there. And I ask God to intervene in their lives and help them. And as I mentioned the other night, that we have 75 to 80% in healing. Okay. Now, sometimes it takes a couple anointings. Where there are repeated anointings beyond that, then there may be some other difficulties that need to be addressed. And God is telling us that we need to look at these other difficulties and take care of them. See? For example, And Jim can tell you this, that if I just anointed him every time he felt bad in his situation that he was in, he'd never be healed because of the things he needs to do to take care of his body. So this is why we go through some of the things that we do, so you can have enough knowledge to help direct people, brethren, so they can learn to take care of themselves. And I'm still going to thank Roger. Where are you, Roger? Right there. Okay. I still thank Roger for the disclaimer. Okay. Okay, clean mind, clean heart, clean body. Okay. So, would this be in accordance with James 5, 14 and 15, where it says, any sick among you, call for the elders, anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the one who is sick. Okay. Then there are other scriptures that we have to add to it to go with it to complete that. But, okay. Now, so I hope, did I answer that question sufficiently? Do you have a follow-up on that? Okay. Well, we don't have a policy, but just sitting here thinking of it, that if we have someone who is a host of a fellowship group, let's put it that way, and there's something that is urgent, well, certainly he can get down on his knees with the individual and pray for them. And then that would take care of immediately asking for God. And then call in, get an anointed cloth, and we can send it next day air. It can be there next day air. By the way, we send out all of our anointed cloths either priority mail in that special priority mail envelope or next day air if it's urgent. So we don't waste any time that way. But that's a good question, because you don't want it to dilly-dally around, and the person there, you know, you should have no problem getting down on your knees with them and say, well, we'll pray about it right here and ask for God's intervention. See? In that case, you don't need to even try and anoint, but we can send the anointed cloth, and then in the meantime, the process is started right then. So I think that would be the way to handle it. That sound reasonable enough? Yeah, I think so. Let me get that in there. Comment was made by Roger Kendall that as soon as the request for anointed cloth is made, God will honor that, because that's in faith. God understands the distance and time involved. And then that starts the process. So, yes, I think that would be true. And I've received many letters back. You know, after I hung up the phone asking for anointed cloth, I started feeling better, and by the time the cloth got here, I was completely healed. So I've heard that. Yes. Okay, that way what we're doing, we're not trying to push the envelope to do something that shouldn't be done, you know, and then it leads to the other thing that Ed was talking about in some of these independent churches. Anybody can anoint, even women. See? So your question is good, but and right and fair, and we need to handle it properly, but then there are other people out there who push the envelope, see, rather than do it in decency, in order, and it is also a matter of faith. Okay, so as soon as you hung up the phone in 10 minutes, then your back spasm stopped.
Yes, they did.
Okay, that's good. Okay. Yeah, Duncan McLeod brought up that someone came in, what was it, a meeting or a Bible study or something? On a holy day, and said that someone's grandchild was going to the hospital and there was no way to get there with anointed cloth or anoint, and so he just had prayer with the congregation, and they were told the next morning that she was just fine. See? So that's what you do in an emergency. You pray right there. See?
Yeah.
Well, I think everything has to be done in decency and in order, and that's the way to do it. So if someone has a situation that, you know, they need immediate prayer, you go pray for them, see? But if someone says, oh, grab the bottle of olive oil out of the kitchen and rip off a piece of a T-shirt and come here and take, you know, you don't do that. Roy, I'll put it in here. All right, now in the case of situation in Australia, what I do, and also in UK and in South Africa, I send a number of anointed cloths. And Roy has some, and Helmut has some, and David Obi has some too. And what I do in praying for those and anointing those, I give a general prayer asking God to heal the difficult things, whatever the problem may be, whatever the sickness may be, whatever the trauma may be, intervene for those who need it when they request it. And then they have these, and when they get a request, then they take that cloth and they pray specifically over the cloth. They don't anoint it again, doesn't have to be, specifically for that person, and then craft a letter that is very similar to my letter, but individually to the individual, and then send it to them. So that's how we do it, okay? So I think that would be helpful, because if we sent an express from the U.S., it would take 3 or 4 days. I can tell you, express from here takes that long. And, of course, there's no need waiting that long. It's not a matter of where it comes from. It's a matter of what the prayer is and how it is handled, and that it gets to the person as quickly as possible. And so this is how we should do it. Yeah, good question. Yeah, Norbert Bonert brought up about what if someone calls for an anointed cloth for one of their relatives or something like that. Well, then I think that what I do is this. I ask them, well, do they believe in God? Okay, because anointing's not just restricted for people in the church totally. Okay. What are they going to do? What is their problem? What is their situation? And if I sent an anointed cloth, would you follow the instructions in the letter? And would you read the letter to the person so they know what's going on? See? So that's what I do. I did that in a case with someone. Oh, she had a terrible thing. So anyway, this happened with someone whose sister was really, really, she her gallbladder had gangrene. See, so they had to go and take her gallbladder and part of her stomach and some things out. And she said, well, because, you know, so when I was asked about the anointed cloth, I explained it that way, explained what it was, and that here's what it is. And so she was going right up to that person the next day. So I gave it to her to take it and how to use it and how to pray. And they had to have the operation. So we prayed concerning the operation. Nothing wrong with praying about a person's going to have an operation. You know, pray that it's going to be successful. You know, sometimes it's a workable situation. You know, in the past it has been, if you go to the hospital, boy, you turn your back on God. Well, maybe you need some physical help. Yes, what you're experiencing is sin. Yes, you may have sinned against your body. That is true. But is God merciful and will he take care of it? Well, then you ask God to, you know, guide the hands of the doctors. We don't want them to die on the table, do we? See, that doesn't mean that you're associating yourself with doctors and doing things directly that way, but it means that you understand God works with everyone in different circumstances, see? So a lot of these are individual. Anyway, she came through the operation just fine. And since she had her gallbladder out, I gave her a little advice. Make sure you have some ox bile with every meal so you can digest your food. She's doing fine even today. This is, what, 2 years ago? Okay. So, yes, and then there was another case of a woman whose mother was, what, 80, 82 or 83? Took her into the hospital, examined her, and she, all of her vessels to her heart were all plugged up. And they sent her home to die. You know, Obamacare, we take care of everybody. So I was asked, what do I do? What do I do? Well, in this case, I didn't send an anointed cloth. Maybe I did or didn't. I don't remember. But anyway, I said, well, here's what you do. You have the person take this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And if they do, they're faithful with it. Well, they put her on heart medicine, so that helped her for a while. But let me tell you, a lot of that heart medicine now, they're understanding if you're on blood pressure medicine, you better get off because you're going to have macro degeneration in time. Okay? Now they're finding that that's the case. But anyway, what happened was her mother responded, got to feeling good, doing better and better and better. So each of those are individual cases, see? So if it's a particularly difficult one, pray about it, ask God for judgment, make the decision, and do it. Okay? You don't have to call me. I'm a long way away. If you're right there at the situation, you have to make the decision. So pray about it and ask God to help you make the right decision and go with it. And if you do it in faith, God is going to back you up because he's responsible. And one of the things I always pray is that, here, let's come to see where it is. I think it is either Matthew 10 or Luke 10, so we'll look there. Okay, Matthew 10, not Luke. Matthew 10, yes. Now here's what we need to understand, brethren, in all this concerning anointing. God has given promises. The more we understand, it's not from us, it's from God. See, we claim those promises. Not because we're anything, we're not. But if we claim the promises and have faith in the Word of God, He will back it up because he gave those promises. And God cannot lie. And in difficult cases, I've even prayed and said, God, you have promised, and you cannot lie. You know, and that's true. That's putting it all on God. See, that's not putting it on ourselves. You don't say, oh God, give me enough faith so the person will be healed. No, you have enough faith in God that you know that his word is good and true and he will heal. See? Just the other way around. And that's the prayer of faith, because you're trusting in God. So here, verse 1. When he had called his 12 disciples, he gave them authority. All right? Exousios, meaning authority, jurisdiction over unclean spirits to cast them out. Do not be fearful of casting out demons. It may take prayer and fasting first, but never back away from it. It may take some thought, it may take some study, but never back away from it, because God has given that authority. And you do it in the name of Christ. And he's the one who gets rid of them. See? To cast them out, to heal every disease, every kind of sickness. Now that's a promise. See? And we claim that promise. We claim that promise with firmness, in faith, yet in meekness and humility, because God has given it. And if God gives the promise, that does not make us anything, but it makes God everything, does it not? Yes. Okay? So that's how to handle it. So you come up across something, someone says, well, this is a demon situation. Don't back away. Find out. Question. Know what the problems and difficulties are. See? Ask God to inspire you and lead your thoughts in order to understand what's going on. See? And we're going to be confronted more and more with difficult situation and unclean spirits. So we need to always, always yield to God. Claim the promises. Then if there have been demons that are cast out, there's also deprivation of diet, so that needs to be considered. Need to improve that. There needs to be the right kind of study. Like in one instance, I told this young man that what you need to do to get your brain squared around after you've gone through the love series and so forth, you need to study the book of Proverbs so you know right and wrong, good and evil, righteousness and sin and all of that sort of thing, because your mind, your cerebral cortex here in the front, is not fully developed and for another 6 or 7 years. And so you have an opportunity with God's Spirit to get that properly programmed with the Word of God so that you can have confidence in God and you don't have to worry about things like that. Okay? So those things need to be too. So this is why, you know, we stress the things concerning health. It's not because we're health nuts, it's because we're, how should we put it? We've all been afflicted with so many things that if we don't take care of our health, we're nutty. Let's put it that way, see? But what was the percentage of those who were killed by doctors and misdiagnoses and things? How many was that, Jim? Wrong medications, wrong operations. There have even been cases going to amputate a leg and take off the wrong leg. Yeah, 250,000 a year more that are killed in automobile accidents, huh? See? Amazing. Okay. Was there anything else we need to cover here? Oh, yeah. Right, the keys to answered prayer, 21 sermons. Help you go through the Psalms. Help you connect with God. Use the words of the Psalms as your own words. And once you get on your knees and start reading the words and then you begin thinking and crying out to God, then your own words will flow and the psalm is a springboard to get you started in praying. And there are all kinds of different prayers, see. Okay. Anything else? Have we missed anything? That doesn't mean there won't be something for next year, though. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.